From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Samantha Wright, filling in for Jim Agudette. This is Idaho Matters. Believe it or not, Broadway depends a lot on television for its survival. And it turns out the ongoing writer's strike in Hollywood almost derailed this week's Tony Awards. Plus, there are all kinds of new documentaries coming to a theater near you. Here to help us figure out what to watch this weekend is our resident movie critic and Morning Edition host, George Prentice. Hi, George.
Hi, Sam.
How are you?
I'm well. I always love a visit to Idaho Matters.
And we always love it when you're visiting. So let's talk about documentaries. I know you have, it's not a secret love of documentaries. You certainly have made no secret of it. And you have some for us. Tell us about them.
I have maintained for a while now that we're in a bronze age for documentaries. Goodness knows there were great documentaries in the 20th century, things like Woodstock, Hearts and Minds, the Times of Harvey Milk. But I think at the turn of this century, documentaries, the bar just keeps getting higher. And when I start making a list of some of my favorite films, I see all of these documentaries, 20 Feet from Stardom, Amy, Citizen Four, The Cove, The Fog of War, Free Solo, An Inconvenient Truth, March of the Penguins, RBG, Won't You Be My Neighbor. Great, great films that happen to be documentaries. And I keep thinking that the bar is raised each time.
And yet we keep going above that bar.
We do, as opposed to, you know, kind of the traditional narrative films, which are kind of hit and miss. And yes, yeah, there's some greatness there, but there are more peaks and valleys, I think, in narrative films than documentaries, which I think continue to get better and better. So there are three that I would like to bring to your attention today. And the first is called Born in Chicago. And this is an exploration of the blues scene of Chicago and what happened in the 1950s. This documentary takes us back to the 1950s, and it's got great, great archival footage. An interesting time when young African Americans were starting to explore Motown and the Stax sound, while young white Americans were just starting to explore some of the original blues sounds, right, of Muddy Waters. So this interesting intersection, right, of generations and races. And so what's interesting about this particular documentary is that it includes Bob Dylan and Keith Richards talking about their motivations from the blues sounds of 1950s, in particular, the clubs in South Chicago. It's called Born in Chicago. And if you're looking for the roots of rock and roll, there it is.
Nice.
Yeah, it's really good. And it's playing right now, actually, at the Flick. So please make a point of finding it. The second film I want to bring to people's attention is probably going to need a little bit of love because it is a what I would consider a gentle film. That said, I consider it to be very beautiful. It is called Geographies of Solitude. And it's an immersion into a very rich ecosystem of a place called Sable Island. It's a remote sliver of land in the northwest Atlantic off the coast of Nova Scotia, where there are countless seals and wild horses and a lot of shipwrecks. And there is a woman who has lived on this island, and she is kind of the unofficial caretaker of this island because a lot of ocean waste washes up, but she takes it from the shore, and she either repurposes it or cleans it up, but she gets it out of the way of the ecosystem, if you will. So this documentary follows her and takes us to a place that we've never been before, and it is so rich and so beautiful. It is called Geographies of Solitude, and that is going to be opening up this coming weekend and running next week again at the Flix. The third film, I think, will find an audience because I think it is a very particular slice of Americana. It is called It Ain't Over, and it's about Yogi Berra. So what's interesting is that I think younger generations know Yogi Berra for yogiisms, right, which are part of our vernacular, right? It ain't over till it's over, right? If the world were perfect, it wouldn't be. And he would say all these wonderful things, and that's what people think he's famous for. In fact, what this documentary does is remind us of how he was a war hero from D-Day, and one of the great, if not unsung, baseball stars of all time. What's interesting is that a few years ago at the All-Star Game, Major League Baseball brought together and introduced to the field what they called at the time the four greatest living baseball players. And out walking to center field were Hank Aaron, Johnny Bench, Sandy Koufax, and Willie Mays. And of course, who would dispute that? Well, what's interesting is that Yogi Berra, who was very much alive, was nowhere to be seen. So Yogi Berra has more MVPs, Major League MVPs, than any of them, has been to more All-Star games than any of them, and he has more World Series rings than all of them combined. Yogi Berra has 10 World Series rings, World Series champions, right?
Wow.
One for each finger. And then, of course, all of his World Series appearances as a manager and as a coach. He's so colorful. And this documentary, It Ain't Over, talks about how he was underestimated. And so it includes Bob Costas and maybe the world's most famous fan of the Yankees, Billy Crystal. So let's take a listen to a little bit of It Ain't Over.
One of the greatest World Series resumes of any player ever.
Hey, he got it done. He was a winner because he had all the rings to prove it.
He's the figure that was larger than life.
When Yogi comes to the team, they say he doesn't look like a Yankee.
He wasn't 6'3" with blonde hair.
He's just a gentle, kind soul.
He was loved by so many people in this country.
Total respect for Yogi. A guy that everybody loved, not because he was cute and funny, it's because he was good and he was real.
He was the most overlooked superstar in the history of baseball.
Trust me, you will love this. It's a brilliant documentary. It's got great footage, and some of those voices are familiar to you. Many of them are the greatest current players of Major League Baseball. And again, we all think we know Yogi Berra, right?
Yeah.
And by the way, there is no Yogi Bear without Yogi Berra. Right? I mean, to be sure, Yogi Bear was, you know, the cartoonist said, oh, well, let's just call this guy Yogi Bear. Well, it turns out Yogi Berra wasn't thrilled about that, but he was too kind of a guy to complain. But that said, he's part of our pop culture, but it turns out he was quite a man, and it's called It Ain't Over. So find this documentary. It opens later this month, again, at the Flicks and at independent films, independent theaters around the country.
Wow. Okay, that sounds like fun. We're speaking with our resident movie critic, George Prentice, about what to watch this weekend. George, let's talk a little bit about Broadway and television. I'm not sure everybody would put those two together, but you have, and tell us why.
Well, what's interesting, so let's have a bit of news here. As, of course, we know the Writers Guild is on strike, and that has brought television and film production to a halt.
Especially late-night TV.
At late-night television, all production, everything from soap operas to game shows to the fall series is in jeopardy.
Yep.
And the Writers Guild has said, sorry, we're going to boycott if you try to have the Emmy Awards. We will pick it if you try to have the Academy Awards. Well, the folks who run the Tony Awards came on bended knee to the Writers Guild and said, look it, our Tony Award broadcast is our survival. This is how most of the nation finds out what's happening on Broadway. It's more than just a show to us. And the Writers Guild has given them a special yes and said, yes, we will not picket you. And they have sat down with the folks who run the Tony Awards, and it's going to be on CBS this weekend, and it's going to stream on Paramount, etc. So if you think of it, the Tony Awards going back to the 1960s, yeah, that's how a lot of America got a glimpse of the very first glimpses of shows like Cabaret, right?
Mm-hmm.
And everything from Camelot to Rent to The Producers to Hamilton. That's how we first got our first taste. What I learned also, I was always curious when I was a kid. I would watch the Tony Awards and I would see all of these big, big stars show up at the Tony Awards, stars that wouldn't normally even go to the Oscars. George C. Scott famously didn't even accept his Academy Award. Not only would he go to the Tony Awards, he hosted the Tony Awards. It's because of his utmost respect for the process and for the stage. Al Pacino, who has won 2 Tony Awards, always shows up at the Tonys, as did Paul Newman, et cetera. Very interesting. And I think it's also fair to say that there's a lot of performers who they're terrified of being on the stage. But it's a real test of greatness.
I think, you know, the only other place that I can think of where you would even be exposed to Broadway shows or get just that little taste is the Macy's Day Parade.
Right.
Otherwise, I mean, you're right. It's the award show because that's the only time you're going to hear about it if you're not there every day and you're not following the theater.
So I have the Tony Awards are a little bit of my passion. And over the years, I have compiled a library of famous moments at the Tonys that I would like to share today, because I think that it's also a glimpse of actors that we associate with movies or television, but had great admiration from the Broadway community. So I want to take you back to 1975. I can tell you at the time that New York was a sewer. New York was in deep, deep trouble. It was a dangerous place. I would go to New York all the time. I'd go to the theater, but Broadway was limping along. But then 2 events happened in the Broadway season of 1975. One was a musical that did not include any stars, and yet it turned New York on its ear. And that was a little show called A Chorus Line, right? Over on West, and I remember this vividly, it was West, I think, 46th Street Theater, and I think it was the Booth Theater, when a well-known film actor returned to Broadway and stepped into the role of the psychiatrist in Amadeus. The actor was struggling in his film career, and he openly admits here that Broadway saved him twice in his career. One in the 60s when he went to Broadway to do what became a famous production of Hamlet, and then Equus. It was Equus in 1975, and the Tony Awards surprised him. And so one evening at the Tony Awards, it was Diana Rigg who came out and said, the Tony Awards are going to give a special award and he does not know about it. And so let's listen.
In celebration of just such an event, the American Theatre Wing is presenting their Actors' Medal to the man who's brought even more excitement to Broadway this season and to a part with his interpretation of the Dr. Dysart role in the Tony Award-winning play Equus. Welcome back, Richard Burton.
I really am somewhat surprised, but not entirely put out. And my utter devotion to Broadway and all it means to me on 2 separate occasions in my life when my fortunes were very low as an actor, I was saved by a performance on Broadway. The other one was Hamlet, and now it's Equus. I can't thank you enough.
You know, it's special moments like that that are unscripted and unexpected, and you're thinking, oh gosh, and it's a glimpse. It's a very personal glimpse into someone who admits their failings. And so I want to fast forward here 4 more years. Now it's 1979, and an actor who we consider one of the greatest film actors of all time, but he would come back to Broadway time and again. And I remember seeing him in 1979 on Broadway in a production of First Monday of October when he played Chief Justice Dan Snow, and his daughter came out on the Tony Awards that year to give him a special award, and his famous daughter, of course, is Jane Fonda. Let's listen.
There has been a special Tony Award voted this year. It goes to a man who first appeared on the Broadway stage in 1929. He doesn't know that he's getting this award. But because I know that he's backstage, I'd like to ask my father to come out here. On behalf of the League of New York Theaters and Producers.
This wasn't in my script, they sent me. I guess this is for being a survivor. I've never been wildly happy about being me. I never really liked myself, but in the theater, I was given chances to pretend that I was Mr. Roberts, Clarence Darrow, and you got to be sure I'm grateful. And my thanks to the American Theater Wing for giving this opportunity to tell you thank you very much.
Who would have known that someone that great was so insecure?
Right?
Right, Henry Fonda. And wow. And that would be his last performance on Broadway. He would pass a couple of years later after he put his final performance on film, which would be on Golden Pond. Which won him the Oscar. In 1980, someone who was, well, television's biggest star and who had just given up her series decided to try Broadway. And people and the critics were out and they were ready to tear her to shreds. It's like, what is this TV star think she's doing in this serious drama? The play was called Whose Life Is It Anyway? And it was a serious drama. It's the story of a paraplegic. And so her performance had to be, and you know, no motion from the neck down for about 2.5 hours on stage straight. And audiences were like, oh, my gosh, we didn't realize she was capable of this. So at the Tony Awards in 1980, none other than Elia Kazan, who the gold standard of directing on stage and film, came out to present a special Tony Award to Mary Tyler Moore.
Wow.
The ultimate test for a performer is the naked stage. It takes courage for someone who's made a successful career in another medium to chance this. The people who administer the Tony Awards have this year, in their wisdom, decided to give a special award to Mary Tyler Moore.
This will symbolize for me forever the absolute joy in creative risk-taking. It's the essence of live theater, and I am so very proud to be now a part of that community. My deepest thanks to Manny Eisenberg for inviting me and to all of you for this very warm welcome. I love the neighborhood. Thank you.
You know, it's moments like that, right, that can truly make a show. And then over the years, I think of all of the people who have hosted the Tonys, right?
Ooh.
Because you really have to bring it. You've really got to bring it.
You do.
You know, Hugh Jackman doesn't hold anything back. I mean, we know that he is capable of singing and dancing because of when he hosts the Tony Awards. And Neil Patrick Harris and Martin Short. I mean, the people who host the Tonys last year with Ariana DeBose. And I mean, you've really got to bring it. My favorite hosts of all time, 2001. They happened to be starring on Broadway at the time in The Producers, the biggest show at the time. And of course, that was Nathan Lane and Matthew Broderick. And they decided to have a little fun when the first hour of the Tonys were on public broadcasting. And this is how they opened the Tonys in 2001.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the PBS portion of the 2001 Tony Awards.
The classy, dignified portion of the telecast.
Before we move over to CBS and start voting people off the island. Stop.
Oh, stop it at once.
Say, Matthew, what's an immunity challenge?
We don't have
a frigging clue. We're in the theater. We'll be giving out many important awards, and you'll see many famous stars. And of course, your PBS host will be the legendary theater actress, Pamela Anderson.
Really? Will it really?
No, but look how everyone perked up.
So good luck, everyone. And remember, there are no losers tonight, only winners.
Yeah, right, and I'm joining the cast of the Vagina Monologues.
Oh,
stop! Stop it!
So, you know, I think the best award show on television is the one from Broadway, and that's the Tonys, and it's going to be on again this weekend. And the Writers Guild said, yeah, we'll support that. We'll let this one pass, and because we know how important that broadcast is.
Wow.
Yeah.
Sunday?
Sunday night.
All right. We're speaking with our resident movie critic, George Prentiss, about what to watch this weekend, including the Tony Awards. George, you know, I know you spend your spare time hosting Morning Edition, so I'm very glad you carved out a little time for us today.
Always love the visit, and thanks for giving me a home for my passion for film, television, and Broadway, too.
And Broadway, too. All right. Thanks, George.
Thanks, Sam.
Thanks for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Samantha Wright. We'll see you tomorrow.
From an Iraq war cover-up to towns ravaged by opioids to the roots of our modern immigration crisis, Embedded explores what's been sealed off and undisclosed. NPR's original investigative podcast reveals why these stories and the people behind them matter. Listen to the Embedded podcast, only from NPR.